Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and we've got an exciting show for you today. We just went through some municipal elections, and if you remember, if you're a regular listener to the show, we had a special guest a few weeks back, Major David Goetz, and Major Dave brought us some information on an investigation he was doing into the 2016 election. And some of the election returns, the data had some inaccuracies. Is that a good word to use, Major Dave? Or some questionable changes were made also. So Major Dave is back with us today.
And that's great.
He's going to give us an update on what he's been working on. We also have Bob and Mary Griswold with us.
Hello.
How are you? We have... Jeff Adelette with the County Compass and the Beaufort Observer.
Delighted to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for coming, Jeff. We have our lovely Rainer James. She's chair of our State Legislative Action Committee. Rainer.
Glad to be here.
We have Michael with us, as usual, and good to have him with us.
Thank you. Good evening.
He's been absent a little bit because... number five and number six were born at the same time.
Wow. That puts a damper on your free time.
It does. He has two sets of twins, bless his heart.
Wow.
We have Rainer's husband, Hal James. He's chairman of our watchdog committee and does an excellent job at holding our elected officials accountable.
Thanks, Rick. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, well. Before we get started, there's a couple of things going on in the news cycle that I might throw out there on the table for comments. Yesterday, Congressman Louis Gohmert, he is chair of the Taxed Enough Already Caucus, and he held a special hearing. He had four or five other congressmen in there with him, and the special hearing was on an investigation into the Awan brothers. These are Pakistani brothers that were doing IT work for Congress. And I think it was 40-some congressmen that were paying them to do IT work. The problem is they weren't doing the work.
Oh, my gosh.
And a lot of taxpayer money was being poured into buying expensive equipment that is now missing. Records were being falsified, because if it's under $500, you don't have to go through the normal justifications and processes and record keeping and all that. So a lot of expensive equipment was showing up on the vouchers for $499.
And 99 cents.
And 99 cents.
Rick, was that a bipartisan effort or was that one particular party involved?
Well, the 40-plus congressmen that employed them were all in the DNC. So
there you go.
Well, that's just the way that was. You know, it's not that we're not nonpartisan. There's just some things that are facts, and that's a fact. They were all Democrats, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz was head of the DNC at the time. There were illegal servers set up. There were terabytes of data that were being piped out of the congressional servers with all the congressional data and emails.
Rick, I really didn't know that. I was asking for information. I wasn't trying to drag that out.
Well, no, I understand. Like I say, terabytes of data that could have been classified, some of it, or maybe not. But anyway, it was being piped out to secret servers that were hidden. There were a lot. They also set up all the congressmen's Blackberries. They had access to all their information. They had Debbie Wasserman Schultz's login information, her password, and all that. So they had total access, and even at one point in the hearing, it was brought out that at times he would spend several months, and this is Imran Awan, he would spend several months at a time in Pakistan, and he said he was working remotely from Pakistan on the congressional stuff.
That's awesome and amazingly secure, given how we know our internet works.
Yeah. The other thing was, he'd reach his salary cap of like $160,000 a year, and well, he'd bring in another family member, and they would get added on the payroll. And in asking some of these congressmen if they'd ever met these people, it's like ghost employees. But he had his brothers, his wife, and several other family members. And
I got a question.
Yes.
What gave him that kind of leverage?
Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the only answer I can give.
And what does he have on her, I wonder?
I don't know.
The other interesting thing about this was, after he was denied access to the computer, there was a major download, terabytes of information,
right,
that he did through an alias that he had set up for himself. And the download, the size of the download was such that it could not have been done over the internet. It would have had to been done through a thumb drive or something like that.
A direct connection.
And when he was asked about it, he said it was his elementary school child's homework. Well, elementary school children don't usually get homework that goes into terabytes. You're talking thousands of pages.
Right.
And there are some real questions about where this data went. I believe he was actually indicted on bank fraud. I think that was what he was actually indicted on. And he stayed on Debbie Wasserman Schultz's payroll after he was indicted. She only took him off the payroll, I think, after he got arrested at the airport. Am I correct?
His wife had left the country, had taken several hundred thousands of dollars with her and gone back to Pakistan. And then several months later, he was attempting to leave after wiring a few hundred thousand dollars to Pakistan. And they stopped him in the airport because, interestingly enough, this investigation had been going on for over a year. The Capitol Police had started an investigation. They had turned part of it over to the FBI. I've talked about on some of the previous shows crowdsourcing. There are some investigative reporters that have been out doing the research and investigation on this and are providing all kinds of information using crowdsourcing. And what that is, they'll go run down a lead, take the information they get, upload it to the internet, like the WikiLeaks documents are out there, and they'll say, okay, I need to find out about such and such a name at such and such an address. Well, there's thousands of people out there that start doing research on it and searching through all kinds of records and everything, and they come up with all the connections for these people from one to another, things they've bought, legal problems they've had, bankruptcies, all kinds of things. Well, they've tied together this big, what they like to call a congressional spy ring. They've tied all that together, and they've been trying to get the word out, but you haven't heard anything about it in mainstream media. Like you said, they have all this evidence of this other stuff he's done, but he was charged
with bank fraud.
With bank fraud, because he was getting loans for a number of houses from the Congressional Credit Union. Mm-hmm. Somebody was approving them, loans that were much larger than the value of the property he was purchasing.
One of the heroes in this is a Marine.
Yes.
Who was renting one of his houses.
Right.
And found all this equipment in the garage that was very suspicious and called the FBI on it.
There was a number of things like that. He was trying to get out in a hurry. He knew that somebody was on to him. But he still had all these servers running. All these gateways were set up. They were still feeding information and downloading information. This house that he lived in, this was his house, and one of the investigative reporters had been there and talked to him, and the neighbors, talked to the neighbors and all, And they said there was traffic in and out the garage all the time. And they were coming in with boxes and going out with boxes all the time. Well, this Marine, when he moved in, some of this stuff had been left there, still hooked up, still running, still downloading data. And then there was lots of stuff that hadn't been. There were hard drives that had been cracked and crashed and, trying to destroy. There was all kinds of stuff. So he turned it all over to the FBI. So the information's been out there. Our intelligence services know about it, but nothing has happened in over a year. So Louis Gohmert yesterday in this hearing that he had with Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, and Judicial Watch has been very effective over the years in uncovering a lot of corruption in D.C., and the investigative reporter for the Daily Caller. They were the primary people that were there to give information. Anyway, that's all on YouTube. You can go and listen to the whole hearing. Go to the Judicial Watch YouTube or Judicial Watch Facebook, and you can click on that link and go right to the YouTube.
You know, I'm very naive, I'm sure, but I don't understand why everybody, Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, unaffiliates, I don't think everybody should be upset that there's that much corruption at that level of government and do something about it.
Well, if you're part of the problem and you're afraid of something coming out, that's...
And I think it's not that unsimilar to what happened with the IRS. I mean, we're talking about millions of dollars and a lot of information here. How many billions of dollars got funneled through that organization under Lois Lerner? And eventually, both parties agreed to just kind of sweep that away and let these people collect their pensions and right. all these other things. Whenever most people were just as, up in big uproar over that issue.
Right. One thing that did come out in the hearing yesterday was that prior to the election, Paul Ryan and Nancy Pelosi met and discussed and decided not to do anything about it or mention it until after the election. You asked if it was a bipartisan thing. Well, the people that were involved that have been uncovered that were employing them were all in the Democratic Party. But the reason people in the other party aren't speaking out and aren't enraged, as you asked, some of them were probably just as guilty. Okay, there's a lot of corruption up there. Okay, we're going to get off that subject now and take a break to hear from our sponsors. We're going to come back and get to Major Dave's report on the voter integrity issue.
Something else that should make everybody's blood pressure.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's hear from our sponsors.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we smoked with pecan wood, deviled crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Major Dave, it's good to have you back with us again. What's transpired since the last time you were here?
Well, Rick, I really appreciate the opportunity to come back and follow up with you. Actually, a lot has happened since I was here last. I've actually had a chance to sit down and meet with the principal staff of the State Board of Elections in Raleigh.
Great.
What kind of reception did you get?
You know, when I walked into the room, it was kind of hard to tell. I walked into Kim Strack's office. She has a very nice desk, but then she has a table with some chairs around it over on the other side of the room. And people began filing in, and before I know it, I'm facing six people around this table. And it was Kim Strack, the executive director, Josh Lawson, the general counsel, Veronica DeGraffenried, the state director of elections, Joanna Fleming, the director of investigations, Brian Niesby, who is their head data analyst, and Patrick Gannon, who is the public information officer. So a lot of very highly paid state employees took a good part of their afternoon to come sit around that table and talk to me. And I don't think it was just in an attempt to intimidate me. I think I'd actually gained that much credibility by that point that they brought in the key players. And I was grateful for it. I did think it was kind of humorous that as they sat down, four of them slid their cell phones out on the table. And this meeting went on for 2.5 hours. Wow. We were there until 5:30, well after their normal quitting time. So this was no dog and pony show, you know, no smoke and mirrors. This was serious business. And we talked about credible, relevant stuff for the full 2.5 hours. But about an hour into it, I actually looked over and I said, by the way, y'all are recording this, aren't you? And a couple of them sheepishly admitted, yes, they were.
Well, let me bring our listeners up to date for some that may not have heard the first show that you were with us on. Major Dave, after the elections, got curious about some things. Like all of us were, you know, like how did one party take almost every position except for the governor's office and the attorney general and a couple other offices?
And Secretary of State and the state auditor.
Right. Four offices that are very powerful and influential in our election system. It just didn't make sense. Well, anyway, Major Dave started looking through the data. Now, what data was he looking at? The data off of the State Board of Elections website. These were the reports that had been turned in after the elections. These were the vote tallies and after everything was certified, right?
Let me just give you a quick listing.
Okay.
So the listeners will understand. One of the files they produce is called the absentee file. That is a by-name record. It gives the voter ID, the county of residence, the first, last, middle name, gender, age, residence address, precinct they're registered in, for everybody who voted either absentee by mail or who voted at one stop during the early voting period. Secondly, there's a file called the provisional file. These are the files that include the same information on every voter who cast a provisional ballot, accepted or not, and there's a field in there that indicates whether it's accepted or not. There's a results file. The results file is where you actually see the number of votes that each candidate got in each precinct. And this points to the difference in what I call front-end and back-end numbers. The front-end numbers are the number of registered voters and the ballots cast. The back-end numbers are the number of candidates running and the number of votes awarded. Now, by law, there can't be any direct digital connection, or else we could find out who you voted for.
Right.
But therein is where I began to see the disconnect, because when I looked following the election from the 15th of November to when they were certified, as we were going through the canvas period, where they inspect those provisional ballots, decide to accept them or not, we had over 50,000 votes show up in the governor's race, but there were only 36,000 ballots, according to those reports, that came in after that period between the absentee and the provisional. Now, when I attended that first meeting, they gave me a 5-page printout, and it explains that the front-end numbers only show those that number of ballots by mail coming in later. What they're saying now is that, yeah, but these other ballots had come in previously. They just hadn't been tabulated yet.
Okay.
They were just fed into the machine late. Okay, maybe that is. But if you look at that piece of paper, they show two different panels, and I'll make sure to get a copy of it too. They run a query of the absentee database, and they do it twice, and they word it slightly differently. They did the same thing for the provisional ballots, and in neither case did they come up with the same number two times in a row. Now, I don't say that disparage, but I mean, I understand data, and I know how. Well, you know, Will Rogers said that there's lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Right. You said you understand data. Can you qualify that with a little bit on your background experience with data?
Well, I began working with relational databases back in 1989 when it was called Informix, even before what today we know as standard query language, or SQL,
right,
or SQL. Informix was the precursor, and I was handling a $6 million project at the Pentagon. That was using that as the search engine for the database. So I've been working with them for quite a while, and that combined with my military police background, being trained as an investigator, just gave me the natural instincts and stuff to start saying, well, wait a minute, some of this just isn't making sense. And to this day, I can't say that the election outcome in November was fraudulent. I'm saying we still need to keep digging even deeper, because as a private citizen, I have dug about as deep as I can go with the publicly available data, but there is a wealth of data out there that is not available to the general public that can yield clues as to whether or not somebody went in and manipulated the data.
Right.
And that's what I'm working with the Board of Elections now to look into.
Correctly, one of the things that caused you to think some of the data might be manipulated was you originally downloaded some files.
Yes.
And then when you went back to download later, you noticed the file sizes were different.
Exactly. Not only that, but it showed the date modified of February 13th, 2017. Who is still modifying data from last November in February? And I addressed that issue with them during the first meeting, and I was told that the December version of the absentee report was actually run in November, and that the February version that I was looking at was actually run on January 3rd.
Why would that be?
This gets to the real meat of one of the biggest points of heartburn I have. We're certifying election results on or about the 13th or 15th of December. The state statute addresses their initial reporting of totals, because initially those totals are not generated as a pure result of by-precinct vote counts. At that point, results are still being reported in some cases by voting method. You see separate lines in that results file of a candidate getting X number of votes from absentee ballots or transfer ballots or curbside or provisional, where the results are reported by voting method. The state statute says they have 30 days. It used to be 60 days. 30 days following the election to put all of those numbers back in the original precinct. The problem is they're certifying the election results and blessing them before that's even done. So we have no way at the point of certification of even auditing those numbers to say whether they came up with the right numbers or not.
Wow.
David, when you talked last time, you said something, you used an analogy like a checkbook.
Yes.
This data ought to balance, you know.
Right.
The pluses ought to equal the minuses. Was that the information you were talking about? Was it the different methods of voting should total up to the total votes, or what was that?
Well, that's true, because the state statute requires, one, that the system be uniform. Now, there are 2,704 precincts in North Carolina. So when I went through that results file initially, I expected in the statewide races to see 2,704 lines of totals. Sure. Instead, I found 3,209. Oh. There are 505 additional lines. Now, 25 counties report the same number of lines as they have precincts. 69 counties use anywhere from 1 to 10 more. Then there are a handful who go up to like 25 more. And then there's Wake County who uses 69 more. Wow.
Mm. And that's the county that had a whole lot of extra votes.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes. And I'll talk about their provisional ballots in just a second. But the idea is, and I'm getting explanations that, well, you see, when they redraw the maps and you start splitting a precinct by a judicial district, then you've got two different ballot formats even for that same precinct. You can be voting for one judge and your neighbor across the street can be voting for a different one.
Yeah. Right, right.
That's because the people still using the Mark 100 ballot scanner are using a piece of equipment that's driven with a 386 processor. Now, the 386 was replaced in 1995 by the 486.
Right.
So we bought this equipment 10 years later in 2005. It was already outdated by 10 years, and we paid top dollar for it. And here in 2017, another 12 years later, we're using duct tape and baling wire to try to keep these boxes running. We are a slave to a sole source contract and very outdated equipment. And quite frankly, Rick, most of us have more computing power in our cell phones than these machines need to calculate these stuff. It's just so much more complicated.
Right. And I work the polls. I have for a number of election cycles now as a judge or a chief judge or assistant, whatever they need me for. I just work the municipal election here for New Bern. And we had rolled back to an older version of software for this election.
Goodness.
And I also had the privilege of using the scanners during the primary for scanning the license when we were able to take the voter ID. Of course, that was overruled by an appointed judge, and we can no longer use voter ID. But there's a world of difference in the process. People still walk in, like just this past week, they would walk right in and pull out their license, and we would have to tell them, we don't need your license, you don't have to have a voter ID, and we couldn't touch them, we couldn't look at them. Whereas during the primary, it was a click of a button and the screen was populated with all their information.
Yeah.
Somebody comes in and, what's your name? I'm Fred Snicklewarts. How do you spell Snicklewarts? You know, you don't have to go through all that if all you do is scan the license. So it made it so much easier. The technology there was a big help, but we can't use it because of these lawsuits that have been filed and everything else. So we're going to hear from our sponsors, come back and talk some more with Major Dave.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We're enjoying our time with Major Dave as he explains to us about some of the issues with the data from the last election and voter integrity. And Major Dave has pointed out that he's got so much information that he can barely scratch the surface in the length of time we have to give him on the radio show. So I want to point out to you, his name is David Goetz. That's G-O-E-T-Z, right?
Z-E.
G-O-E-T-Z-E. And he goes by Major Dave. You can find him on Facebook. You can find him on YouTube. So I know you can't absorb everything you're hearing here. You can go back and listen to the show again on our website because it'll be archived there. You can also go and see some of his YouTube videos he's done and look at some of his reports that he has on Facebook. A lot of the information are at those two resources there. And then after you've learned enough and muddled over the figures enough and got confused enough, please call your representatives and ask them if they can clarify some things that you have a question about and see what they know about it, because he has met with some of them, and the word's getting around up there. So stir the pot a little bit. Call your representatives and ask them how that investigation is going. Major Dave, it's back to you.
I've got a specific question. Sure. I'd like to ask you. I have gotten the feeling from today and from previous times we've talked that you feel like these things that are happening that are not as they should be aren't just anomalies, that they are caused with malicious intent. And is that the case? And what would need to happen to make that absolutely clear to everybody and take corrective action?
Well, just to give you an example, when you look at the Board of Elections and what they're asked to do, their post-election audits basically are just concerned with whether the information being uploaded from each county to them for the aggregate is dependable. Have the counties followed the rules? They really don't go into any kind of in-depth analysis of whether the numbers make sense. Mm-hmm. That's not really part of their charter.
And you're just talking about the state level.
Yes.
Whenever we really get into, you know, the thing that caused the impetus for this for most people was the presidential election, yeah. charges of 3 million illegal votes and things like that. Whenever you get into the numbers, those are all reasonable guesstimates. But the unfortunate thing is they are guesstimates because there is no systemic, or hadn't been until recently, any sort of systemic effort to go through this line by line. Right. And the other problem is there are some people with various situations that could legally be registered to vote in multiple states. If you own property in a couple states, you have a voting interest, and you know, because you pay property taxes, it's reasonable to say, okay, I should be allowed to vote in each state that I own property, given the fact that those governments take taxes on me based on that property.
But it's not legal to do that.
It's legal to vote in those local elections. You're a legal resident based on whatever that municipality determines your residence is. You get mail there. You could be legal to vote for local elections. Now, when you bump up to multiple areas, or if you voted in multiple cities in a single state, now you would start getting into issues where states have laws, because all elections are local and state level elections. Ultimately, you guys all see what I'm saying?
All right.
The other nebulous issue in this would be if you voted in, say, Virginia and North Carolina. Then you could be getting into a questionable area. But the reality is those votes aren't for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. You're voting for electors. So you still have not technically violated a law. And this gets into what Dave talks about, the details of front end versus back end. Onesies and twosies, a couple of people, or even somebody organizing 1,000 people to commit a level of fraud is one thing. But these back end issues, the discrepancies on the counting in the multiple thousands, when you talk about 3,000 people statewide and somebody pushing it into a 10,000 threshold, those systemic issues where the people counting are doing things deviously, that's where it gets into the realm of we really need to hold people accountable.
Michael, I disagree with your premise. If somebody votes for the president in two different states, it may not be illegal. I'm not sure it's not.
I believe it is.
But I think it probably is, but it sure as heck is immoral. It
absolutely
shouldn't be done.
And right. That's where something – until you get something like this overall national look at it, and they made a law to make it illegal, it's not technically – that's where they live in these details.
Your voter registration should, I believe, is legally based on your primary
residence.
Place of residence.
Yes, not where you own property.
Like, I think, you know, I'm not able to get represented in the city of New Bern because I live in Trent Woods, but I own a home in New Bern. I pay property taxes on that home. I pay county taxes on both my homes, you know.
Those are all state-level laws, though.
But I'm not able to vote in the municipal election for the city of New Bern.
What proves that, Rick, is the state statute, when it addresses a case where your house may actually be divided by a county line, the county that you register to vote in is that portion of your house where your bedroom is, where you sleep.
You know, I would say Walmart is not allowed to vote in every town in this country, even though they probably own property in most of the towns of the country.
Right, and that gets into they pay money to those officials in each of those places based on their interests.
Let's get back to Major Dave, and one of the questions I've still got for him is that I know that he filed a lawsuit to extend the date in which this data would be available for him to look at. And I'd like to know the status of that, if you don't mind, Major Dave.
I have to file a notice of hearing. The papers were served on the Attorney General's office, which was required since Governor Cooper was the defendant. That was done on September 18th. It took, for some reason, over a week for the Wake County Sheriff to serve those papers on an office 6 blocks down the road from them. So it kind of pushed off. I was hoping to get it on for the September 25th, but now we're on for November 6th, which is the next civil case date docket for Franklin County. And they have sent me paperwork from the Attorney General's office indicating the Deputy Assistant Attorney General, who has been assigned to handle the case. So I have a name for that person now. So it is moving forward, and I expect it'll be heard on November 6th. But going back to what you were saying about the numbers and the discrepancies and stuff, when I met with the Board of Elections, I went back this past Monday and spent another hour with their head data analyst. And I took him in 11 by 17 printouts of by names of voters whose data, I believe, pointed to a discrepancy. See, if you look at any one voter's transaction, it's not going to tell you a whole bunch. It's when you start sorting it by address. Or you start sorting it by name. You know, there's a family of four. All four of them request an absentee ballot be mailed to the same address in England. I can tell from the ages, mother, father, sister, brother. And then the brother shows up and votes in one stop. I mean, could have come back to the States, but my point is their normal routines do not look at the data in this way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's an assisted living facility in Asheville in Buncombe County at 100 Cheerio Lane. And if you look at the absentee file, almost every person there requested an absentee by mail ballot. But then every one of them winds up going and voting in person at one stop. Now, why are they requesting ballots? If they have a shuttle, if they know that voting service is available and going to care, why are they requesting by mail? And just want to say, Bob, and when you start looking at it in this level of detail, that's where you find the cases where I think the actual fuzziness is starting to come in. I found a number of cases, for example, one young girl, 23 years old, Mecklenburg County, request an absentee by mail ballot. 3 days later, she votes in person at one stop in New Hanover, in Wilmington. College student, quite likely campus get out the vote, peer pressure. Walking across, how are you registered to vote? You know, I've already requested an absentee ballot back home. Oh, no. You can use same day registration today. You can sign up and vote. The problem is they just broke the law because they haven't met the 30-day residency requirement to vote in that county. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, the by mail in the former county was done later. They voted in person at one stop and then later requested absentee by mail. Mm-hmm. So either somebody's making up transactions or it was an attempt to vote twice.
You just touched on one of the avenues where, college age students have a lot of these irregularities. I was registered to vote my senior year of high school as an 18-year-old. I'm now 23 and I'm about to graduate and I'm eligible to vote somewhere else. You've met the residency requirement. You live in that city. And so there's where a lot of this fuzziness
Dave, wasn't there a situation of nearly 250 students living in a parking lot at one of the universities?
I think one university parkway in Durham at Duke University is a parking lot, and they found hundreds of people that were using that as an address. And
you mentioned get out to vote.
Well, that's the type of data inconsistency.
There are a lot of organizations that are out there for that specific purpose, is to try to influence the elections by getting as many of these college students involved, and they get them involved multiple times, like you're pointing out here.
And that's not good, but Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. I think from what I've heard you say earlier, that as reprehensible as that is, the bigger picture is manipulation of data can change results in larger numbers than happens that way. Is that true or not?
Well, very true. The state auditor's race between Beth Wood and Chuck Stuber was decided, I believe her margin of victory was 2,793 votes. And with 2,704 precincts in the state, that's one vote a precinct made a difference.
That's right. That's right.
Vote a precinct. Dan Forrest won by only like 5 votes a precinct.
All right. Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and wrap this up because we're quickly running out of time.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we smoked with pecan wood, deviled crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have with us Major Dave Goetz, and Major Dave is talking to us about the election results. And Dave, I'm just going to give you the floor and let you roll.
Well, I have been very appreciative of the State Board of Elections for being as candid and forthcoming with me. When I went back this week for the follow-up meeting, one of the first things they said was, you know, we're going to keep doing this. Good. So they've already invited me back for future meetings. But good. When I hand them these specific printouts and whatnot, it's giving them a perspective that their normal course of business would not have brought to their attention. I would like to think it would have, but okay, it didn't. All right. Now they know. So what are they going to do with it? Right. Well, when you start looking at this data down to the individual level and sorting it like that, I started finding, and I'll just give you a couple quick examples. There are a lot of people whose name, either last name, first name, or middle name, has been replaced by the word true.
True?
True. And I asked him about it on Monday, and he said, well, you know, it's probably a clerical error or something like that, until he went in and did a query and found out it was in the hundreds of people. And he said, well, you know, this is legacy data. A lot of them have been removed. They're not even in the system anymore. I said, no, look at this list right here. Every one of them voted absentee one stop in November, and their ballot was accepted. What name did they give at the polls to get a ballot? And he was like, well, they probably match first name and middle name. I said, but they didn't update the record. They didn't correct it and put the right last name back in. So that's an example of something that they're going to take now and look into, because I pointed out a problem.
And I might like to point out that one of the reasons you're having such success here, they can't argue with the data. It's their own data. Exactly. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's not something you think happened. It's their data.
And we found people who have no last name. That field is just blank. Mm. And again, it's an example of data corruption. Being a data person, I know it can happen. But their system didn't catch it. Just like the negative numbers of votes that I talked about last time up in Rutherford County. They told me that was a display error. You mean they were wrong for displaying them? I say that jokingly, but, right. You know, I don't really know what a displayer is. But when we talked about the 510 missing lines of overvote and undervote totals, and quickly, an overvote is when you vote for more candidates than you're allowed, and an undervote is if you vote for too few or leave it blank. They're in 38 counties. Mm-hmm. There were over 510 instances in that results file where it shows how many votes each candidate got of missing over and undervote lines. You can't tell whether the number of votes cast equals the number of ballots cast without that. And their response to me during the meeting was, well, we don't need to be reporting those lines anyway. Well, yes, I think you do. How else can anybody tell?
You need a check.
Of course you need a check and balance. And that may be the last thing they want now is people like me and the public. But then again...
Well, it's the first thing I want. I think what you're doing is terrific.
Hear, hear.
Well, it's worth it to me because I know that the integrity of elections is everything.
Yes.
Because everything we do as a citizen depends on that. And it's been a full-time job for 10 months. But I have a very supporting wife, and thankfully I have good supportive friends like you all over the state. I travel around and I talk to them because we all need to understand more about this. Mm-hmm. There are people paid to run elections who don't know everything they need to know about how the system's supposed to work.
Well, one thing that's an advantage is you can step away from the system and look at it as an outsider.
Right,
exactly.
And that's good. It's very needed.
And that parochial instinct to defend the status quo is alive and well with a lot of people. But I have had people at local boards of elections reaching out to me.
Good.
Wow. Right. Calling me, feeding me information, saying, you know, we have been trying to get them to pay attention to this for years. And, you know, so maybe we're finally going to get somewhere.
I hope so. Yeah. I'd like to point out to our listeners also that Major Dave understands data. He understands how things can be corrupted and problems that do exist in all databases. I want you to understand that there are groups out there with nefarious intentions that also understand weaknesses of the system and have put millions of dollars and lots of time and effort, and they bring people into our state to take advantage of the flaws in our system because they know how it works.
Well, Rick, they have had to bend over backwards now because since they started with the motor voter registration at DMV, the Board of Elections has had to accept whatever data and whatever quality it has from DMV. And that's created its own separate batch of issues and problems.
That was a really unfortunate
situation. That's something
situation.
That bothered me. I know from talking to Melanie Ray here, our director, that for a long time, those were just kept in a stack somewhere. There was any problem with them. But right at the last minute, they got the directions to go ahead and process them all, no matter whether they'd falls in them
they,
or not.
They did. And then the one last thing that we touched on earlier was same-day registrations. You know, there were over 100,000 people that used SDR to register and vote. We never verified their address. I understand in Wake County alone, 13,323 people failed verification, yet they voted in their ballot cast. But I found out, too, that when they start that verification process, that 30-day window, the 215-day mailings, if that voter turns around and sends in a change of address midway through it, it starts a whole new 30-day thing. So there's no way we can have an election, count those ballots, and know by the time we certified it that all those people legitimately casted their ballot.
Wow. Well, Dave, you've brought out a lot of good points, and you've achieved our mission for us here is to bring awareness of things, issues that we have that the general public just doesn't get. We're going to have to cut this off now because we're running out of time. Rainer, can you real quickly give us some information on what we're working with?
Sure. CCTA's got a whole lot of things going on next week. On two dates, the 17th, which is Tuesday, our normal public meeting, Francis DeLuca is going to be with us, and he's going to talk about current concerns for conservative citizens. One of the things has to do with pollution, and it is strange that conservatives seem to be on the opposite side from the normal group crying out about such things. Then on Saturday, the 21st, we're going to have an all-day seminar with the folks from America's Remedy. They spoke to us not too long ago, and it was perfectly clear that they had an abundance of information. Anybody who thinks they know history might get an awakening,
right.
A startle.
Give me that date again.
It's the 21st. It's at
Highland Park Christian Church.
Christian Church. at 905
Carolina Avenue.
21st of this month.
Oh, right. Yeah. Now, that's not a church-sponsored thing.
No, it isn't. It's sponsored by CCTA.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. We're out of time right now. We've got to go. But, folks, we're going to do something we haven't done before. We're going to have a special session because there's a lot of questions here that people still want to ask Major Dave. So we're going to go ahead and do that, and it'll be posted on our website with our archives for our radio show. Look for the special edition with Major Dave. It'll be right after this show, Sunday show. So thanks for tuning in. Go to cctaxpayers.com. You can click on the wake up call button and bring up the archives. You can also click on the donate button and help us to continue this program. Have a good week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern.
There's something for everyone at Stingray Cafe in Newbern. For the seafood lover, there are oysters, shrimp, scallops, clams, crabs, snow crab legs, and a wide variety of fish. Not in the mood for seafood? How about a salad, a burger, beef brisket, or some good old hickory smoked barbecue? There's even a menu section for folks 10 and younger. Open 7 days a week, the Stingray Cafe on South Front Street in Newbern, just across the street from the History Center.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in Newbern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, Newbern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in Newbern.
Hey, folks, I just want to give you a couple of quick reminders, and that is Tuesday at 7 p.m., that's October 17th, our regular monthly meeting that's free and open to the public. Our speaker, Francis DeLuca, president of Civitas Institute and Civitas Action, and he'll be providing a legislative update regarding pending issues here in the North Carolina legislature. You don't want to miss that. Also, on the 21st of October, we're going to be having an all-day seminar, and that's going to be put on at the Highland Park Christian Church. Now, this is not a church event. It's sponsored by CCTA and America's Remedy, and you don't want to miss that event. And finally, if you enjoyed today's show with Major Dave and his stats on the election results, then we're doing a special session with him after the show. We're going to make that available to you on the website, cctaxpayers.com. Click on the wake-up call and look for the special session, Major Dave Q&A session. And that's going to be right after this Sunday's show. It'll be available online, and please come and join us for that. Thanks for tuning in.
The CCTA appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator, Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Stingray Cafe, South Front Street, New Bern, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Force 5 Marine Saltwater Corrosion Inhibitor. Join us again next week at this time for your wake-up call from the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, online at cctaxpayers.com.